It's like recording device.
Okay. It's welcome to our school community council meeting, November 2nd, 2011. I'm Rochelle Robertson, the co-chair. We only have a couple of things to talk about today. Mr. Stewart won't be able to be here, so we have
Mr. Hayes
is here with us.
Thank you.
Okay, the first thing we have that we need to present for approval, we had our safe walking routes and it didn't pass last time. So who came up with this? Do you know?
It would be myself.
Oh, so you did.
Yes.
Okay, so you can tell us all
about it. Yeah, Mr. Barth and myself actually, you know, kind of drove the area back over here. And as you guys realize, I'm familiar with what that street, but the kind of main drag coming down right here, it goes all the way down on sidewalk on the right-hand side of the road if you're coming towards our school. And then there's a crossing walk right there where they have a crossing guard. So that's where the cross is right there. And then there is actually a walking path that's a paved asphalt pathway with a fence that goes right towards the elementary school. And so that's what that little jaunt is across there. And on that walking path, the kids would actually go past the elementary school, make a left on, and it's blocked out here, but there are written instructions there, right there. So they pass the elementary school, make a left on Marie Way, and then they take that straight down, and then make a quick right, and there's that opening in our back fence way. So, and then of course, if you're coming from the other community, you kind of wind your way through that those group of houses right behind the school.
Do they just walk across the field?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, there's an opening fence, they come right across the field, and then they're here.
Do they currently use this? Do students currently use this route?
You know, it's hard to tell, I think, right now, because it's just, again, I'm unfamiliar with, if you live back over there, I believe it's just kind of reopened, right?
Yeah.
Recently, so I think students are beginning to use that. I honestly, I don't see any of our students walking down this main road. Every once in a while, I'll see a high school student heading away from Westlake. Very rarely are they heading towards Westlake, so, yeah, I believe that they... You know, and I'm not sure, besides the community that's right behind us, how many kids, you know, actually
walk. I've seen a lot of the elementary students going to the new school using the new pathway along the fence.
Right, of course, yeah. So, and I believe that they...
I like this better, because before I thought this was a city problem, but I think that since they put the sidewalk in,
right,
and they're off the main road most of the time, I think this is perfect.
Yeah, well, this is all sidewalk, you know, so there's no...
Perfect.
They're not out on any, so that'll be posted, or is it already posted on the website?
Well, we have to vote.
We have to approve it today.
Well, of course.
And then we can post it. So if no one has any questions, then we'll present this for approval. And do we all say aye or raise our hands, or how would?
All in favor.
We put our heads down.
Put your head down.
No, that's
you. Okay, so all in favor for this safe walking path to the school. Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed?
Okay. I've been a chair a couple times.
Okay, it appears to me that everyone has approved this, so we will post it on our website. And I think it's much better. No one goes down that main road that is a little bit scary. It's scary to turn left, even driving. I'd hate to walk. Okay, the next thing we talked about, there was the late bus discussion for having an after-school program twice a week, and we had kind of let it go because the person working on it moved, but because of just some concern that we maybe wanted to look into it again, we talked to Willow Creek about their after-school program. They only do it once a week, and they have approximately 70 kids. It's all on here, so you can... They have approximately 70 kids that take the bus home. And about 40 of them are from the intramural sports, so about 30 are for the flex or the after school. We also took into consideration trying to see, you know, how this works. They only do their flex time, which is our teal time. They do it once a week for an hour, whereas we do it every day for a half an hour. So adding that up, we have about 2 hours since we don't do it on Monday. And then...
So they, about 2 hours of remediation.
Yeah, we have 2 hours of remediation. They have that hour plus an hour and a half after school. Is that, I thought it was an hour after school.
Is it just an hour?
Is it just an hour? Because I thought it was about equal. So we have 2 hours during school. They have an hour of teal and then an hour after. So it's about the same, just for remediation. Also, and these are just some facts, just to for people to think about. Is it worth it to do this? If we want to pursue it, we can... assign someone to go ahead and look into things. or we can think of other options. We need roughly 6 teachers to stay for those 2 days, and they are paid after their
contract
hours. So that would come out of our budget as well, so we have to take that into consideration. And then one concern was, will it be difficult for students that remediate with one teacher and then go to class with another one, getting kind of, you know, 2 or 3 different every day, getting someone else helping them? And I don't know if that's a huge concern, but for some people it is. So with that in mind, we don't need to vote on this today. We just need to get it out there to discuss if anyone is strongly in favor of it and wants to really look into this, or if we want to look into other things. Wasn't there someone?
There's like $7,000 that rolled over from last year that we need to allocate somewhere.
I have a question. You saw it at Willow Creek, didn't you? How did it work there?
As did I. I participated. And as a teacher there, I was a part of it.
Okay, at Willow Creek. I was just wondering.
After school.
Mm-hmm. So what's my opinion?
What's your opinion on it?
My opinion was it was a colossal waste of money.
Okay.
It's good.
I may just be biased, you know.
Joe?
But what I found as a teacher is I had not a lot of students that came to remediate with me, but we'd have quite a few students that would stay just simply to use that time to visit with their friends.
Oh. And then take the bus home.
And then take the bus home, knowing that they could stay. And so I know that it was a big problem, you know, not for me as a teacher, but for
administration.
The administration, because the kids would just kind of, you know, we'd have groups of boys and girls kind of paired off in different corners of the school, knowing that the building was essentially empty, yet they could still find a ride home. And so we did some different things to try to make it more effective, but I think they still always kind of battled that problem. And I'm not sure how they're battling it over there right now. Maybe they found a more effective way.
The last year that my son did it, they had to get
a ticket or something
from the teacher to get on the bus.
Right.
Which means they had to go to the class, had to work with the teacher, they couldn't get the bus.
Right.
That's a good idea.
And again, as I've talked to teachers, but sometimes that meant the kid was in there for 10 or 15 minutes. And some kids were in there for, you know, the full hour, so it kind of varied. You know, some kids would pop in just long enough to get that ticket. So,
and then it becomes a babysitting issue too. Mm-hmm. You know, you got a kid in your room, he
but
needs 5 minutes of help,
possibly.
Or he comes, you don't even know who this kid is. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't know what he's studying, you don't know what he's doing, you don't even know what teacher he is. He's just hanging out so he can get a ticket. And
Steve mentioned that yesterday during our meeting. He was just afraid there was going to be a disconnect. There's really no connection between the student and teacher because it's not necessarily their teacher.
Right.
And it's a good idea. Like, I love the idea of it.
Yeah, it sounds
good. And, like, you put math here on this booth, and that's one of my big concerns, too, because I have 2 students here right now, and they both have 2 different math teachers. So when we sit down and work with them, they're in the same grade, though. The one will be like, well, that's not how my teacher taught it. You know, and then my husband will present a whole nother way, and they're like, that's not how we learned it. And
which, by the way, it probably is. But
they just don't know that.
Yeah.
And so I just think that is a potential problem where there is, I mean, you're the math guru. Is there more than one way to teach a concept?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Sure, there most definitely is. So I just think that could be a potential problem if, like you said, it's not the teacher that's
you know, and then,
it.
I mean, we even had situations where, you know, I required something on an assignment and a student went to a different teacher for help. And the student came back the next day. The entire assignment was wrong, and the student says, "Well, the teacher that helped me said that your way was really stupid."
Oh,
and it was like, "Well, it probably was better than this because all these answers are wrong," you know. But yeah, I mean, it's just a difference of philosophy.
Certainly.
During the entire time that I was at Willow Creek, students that actually took the bus that I saw, including every day that they had that Tuesday bus, Tuesday, Thursday, was 2 days,
it's
right?
Just Tuesdays, didn't
Well, it was now, Tuesday, yeah. Thursday.
Now it is just Tuesday.
Yeah, but so it was Tuesday, Thursday when I was there. So twice a week for 4 years, I think I may have had a total of 30 students stay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm talking 30 times. So, you know,
if it's
worth $7,000,
it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's interesting to hear the teacher's point of view, because as a parent, I utilized it, and my kids benefited from it. But it's sad to hear that so many didn't.
Yeah.
Well, I think it sounds like it got abused by most of the
Well,
kids.
And I think it's a good idea. Yeah. It really is a great idea, and it sounds great on paper, but in practice, I just
don't. It almost seems like we're too late in the game to get it going this year.
Yeah, for this year it's too
Well,
late.
We didn't feel like it was. If we all felt like it was something we wanted to move forward with, mm-hmm. that it's not too late. we can implement it anytime. And on the pro side of it, if we do get it going this year, the $7,000 for the buses, next year it's already, once the bus route, and correct me if I'm wrong, but once the bus route's in place, next year it's already budgeted in. Yeah. So it's not like we have to come up with that money again to include those buses. They will continue to run after this year.
One of the things that, and this may not be as much of an issue with our parameters on the thing, but I know a lot of kids really, really did not want to stay because they would say, says, if I take that bus, I don't get home before 6:30.
Yeah, because right. It is two buses yeah. going.
Yeah, oh, and it was wow. huge.
For the whole area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they did not like it. And if they did stay, generally they would stay for the time that I was there. They'd call mom to come and pick them up anyway.
Sure. Yeah. Okay, so the next question that you had is, if not, then what? Did anybody have any ideas?
I had a parent approach me from, she's on the community council at Harvest, and they want to know if we would consider the Rosetta Stone. The Harvest Elementary uses awesome. It, and the high school uses it.
But my son uses it.
And
the
middle school.
It's a good program.
I don't really like it, and I use it. But
you don't like it?
I don't really like it. I don't think it's as complete as it needs to be in order to actually teach the language.
Right. Going from an elementary to a middle school to a high school, they use it.
And I think more elementaries are starting to get it. But the fact that the high school's using it,
yeah, high school does use it.
That it'd be kind of a nice option.
Would that be better than nothing?
I don't know how much
I like that thought.
Site license probably $7,000.
It would just be a good bridge. I'm not familiar with the program or how exactly we use it, but I can
that's a great idea.
So. Okay, and
did you have any options?
You have another option?
I did.
Mr. Ringer.
As the counselors here, we would like to purchase a curriculum called Why Try.
Oh, that's
a Why Try program. We would like to use it in conjunction with the guided studies program, where as counselors, we would go into the class like maybe on like Fridays. So we would be in the class with them, teaching them this Why Try curriculum, which addresses dropout prevention, violence prevention, drug and alcohol prevention, truancy reduction, failure, class failure reduction, and anti-bullying, much different things. So the exact student population that's already in the guided studies program are the exact students that we would want to target with this Why Try program.
Butch, do you know how much that one costs?
I do. The curriculum costs $499. There's also an optional activity kit that comes with it, which is an additional $799. But honestly, that's probably stuff that you can just kind of scrape for
so
much
it's possible
cheaper.
To do both.
Yes.
We can find out Rosetta Stone site license.
Just contacted me and said, when you go to your meeting.
Well, we can probably find out from Westlake.
Yeah, talk to the high school.
How much it costs for the site license.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
Because if that's less than $1,000, I buy site licenses of software all the time.
Question, how many kids are in guided studies? I don't know how big it is.
Right now, we have 42.
Oh, no,
42. So we specifically would want to address those, but then it'd also be open to whatever students, we could use it, yeah.
Student success, possibly?
Okay. Very much so.
I saw the program over at PG High, and I thought it was pretty good. Okay. The way they talked to
yeah.
the students
it,
about
it. It was actually created by, in Alpine, the school district.
Why don't they do this sort of thing?
So, like the students that say, well, I don't care, what's the point?
Yeah. Exactly.
It kind of addresses that question of why try? Why am I here? Why am I trying to get a grade in school? What's the point? Mm-hmm. It's kind of used to address those questions.
Can we send some high school kids to it too?
do they have it over at Westlake?
I'm not aware of it.
Yes. I have a couple of thoughts that have come up a couple of times. Don't know exactly how things are going to get funded. One thing that we don't do here yet at the school, but I know I've talked to Mr. Stewart about it, and we really need some teeth as teachers. Because why care about your grade? If you're not shooting for a 4.0, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, really in middle school, who cares? Yeah. And so several of the middle schools, I think there are three middle schools in the district that do summer school. Mm-hmm. And as the math curriculum changes, we would actually look at combining with the feeder elementaries Because if you've got a student that is failing English in sixth grade, it doesn't do any good to promote them to seventh grade because they'll fail there and they'll fail in eighth grade, and we are training them to make sure that they do not graduate from high school. Yeah. But, and I know that the teachers that have had summer school available at their schools, it's, I mean, it doesn't have to be mean. It was, you know, you didn't feel like doing your math homework. I'm really sorry to hear that, but it'll be really great to see you this summer for 6 weeks.
Right.
And, right. You know, it right. All of a
that's
sudden,
a
that student
the why
is,
try.
Exactly.
So I don't have to go to summer school.
And because there are many, many kids here that understand that it's not affecting their GPA in high school, and that what they're doing is establishing really bad habits, and we're trying to kind of break that cycle. So summer school would essentially be funded by the students, except, I mean, I know that different schools run in different ways, so that if the student had to come to summer school, there would be a fee involved, mm-hmm. which would then pay for the teacher and the building and those kinds of things. Some of the summer schools say if they complete the class, then they refund the money, which lowers the money, but then where do you get the money to pay
sure.
the teachers and the building? So if there
possibly
could be that exchange.
It gives an incentive for the parents to actually bring them, because I know, you know, summer school, you're like, we want to go on a family vacation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Summer school.
Yeah.
But that gives them the incentive that if you pass, then we'll give you money back, and people will be have that as an incentive. It
right.
would be an incentive for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing is if we say that they have to come, or, you know, and then they don't, or they come and they don't pass summer school, then what? Then we have the option of actually enrolling them in two English classes and two science classes and two math classes.
Instead of electives.
Right. So, I mean, there are a lot of things involved. Nothing has been decided, but I would like to be able to have something that says, you know what, if you don't pass, there is a consequence. Another thing that we actually were just talking about at lunch today as teachers would be some cross-curricular activities, but trips during the summer. Things like taking 200 kids to Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
and having cross-curricular activities with math, English, science, and history, maybe. Maybe include history there on a trip
hey.
To Washington.
Definitely to Washington.
Yeah. But, you know, depending on what we do, how can we fund it, what can we, you know, do we want to try and get somebody organized to do box dots for education? You know, can we put something like that together that would incentivize the kids? And then the other thing, we talked about this a little bit last year, was in the summer, running a summer activity where so many of the houses are close to the school, where we have, and this kind of goes with what you're talking about, but more of a summer program with math and reading, but also where the gym's open. They can come and it's a safe place to hang out and do board games and sports and, you know, just something where the kids can get together and hang out where their parents
supervised.
Are at work all day. Yeah.
And the PTA can help with that. Remember she had said the other gal with the long blonde hair?
Yeah.
She said she would be all over that. I wish she was.
Yeah.
Audrey?
Yeah.
Elena's sick. She couldn't be here today.
Okay. She's talking about Audrey.
Oh,
yeah. So those are three things that we've talked about in the past.
Yeah, those are great ideas.
Yeah.
Don't you run into liability issues if you have the school open and it's not staffed? How much kids should
well, it would have to be staffed.
Yeah.
That's where the money comes from.
That's
where
the money
would go.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then how does that fit in? You've got to make sure it fits into Rogers' cleaning schedule. And how certain wings get shut down for.
Yeah.
Okay, so. Does anyone have any other? I think those are all great ideas.
I want her to know about the ideas that we have.
I was just going to say, I don't think this last one we could fund because it does not probably fall into...
It has to be something academic.
It's not academic-based, so
could
I don't think we could fund that one.
It with summer school.
If it was with summer school, you can.
Possibly. And I was also thinking we could maybe do that mm-hmm. on next year's budget when we go over that, because that's after this year ends, so maybe that's something to keep mm-hmm. on the table.
Are there any departments, too, while we were talking, I was thinking, are there any departments that really have a need for, like, another tutor, or, like, do you know where there are, is there an overload of students who are lacking? We looked at all those statistics
yeah.
last time in the math department or history or English.
Well, what I was going to say is, whether you need a bus or not, I don't know, but is there some kind of a math lab that we could
mm-hmm.
start up? Because I was wondering, the people who would stay after school, is it mostly math or is it English or... Or is there a way to find out the kids who would stay after school?
The math lab in the summer too. That'd be awesome.
Would it be for English, or is it mostly for math? Because I know my kids. I think a math lab would be.
So you're talking about after school specific math lab?
Some math, well, like at, you know, like at Westlake, they have
a math lab at Westlake. I was just thinking
they have a math lab.
Is that something we could implement into Teal, too?
There is a math lab.
Is there?
Is there a math lab during Teal?
There are two. Do the students use it?
Not.
It hasn't been as much, but I would say that in both math labs, you have probably anywhere from 15 to 20 students that go each Teal day. And that's on top of who is also going to their teachers.
Right.
Okay.
I didn't realize there was one during Teal.
Then there is, well, I guess there is a math lab class that some students are in that are struggling in their math classes.
I guess I'm just talking about kids that maybe don't struggle with math, but are just having a hard time with this assignment or this concept or, you know.
Yeah.
Something. Is that what math lab is during Teal?
Then it could,
then they could go somewhere, you know, because I know they ask me and I'm like,
which we do hope that they use Teal time for that, even if they're passing their classes, we do.
Right.
Encourage
them
to.
That's not happening as much, though. If
they're the only thing I can suggest.
Usually it's the students that have an A minus and want an A.
Right.
I would say, seriously, that most of the kids, I would say half of the kids that come to my Teal time are already passing.
Yeah. Right.
They're just coming to.
They're just coming to
a little extra help or
get their homework.
Just a little extra time.
So I know that's what my kids would use it for. It's just a little.
Yeah, and they can do that during Teal time. Michael got laughed at by his teacher though,
right?
When he showed it up with an A minus and.
Depends on the teacher. That's, I know some.
Because I'm like, that's horrible. It didn't make him want to go again.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because he didn't have to be there. You know.
But what about the kids who really need to be there?
Only the ones with Fs have to go.
They won't let them in.
Yeah, they just say, "I'm sorry, I don't think we're going to have room today." That's what I said to my kids. You know, we may not have room for you. Okay, that's not a problem. Then they're good about it. They understand.
Well, the kids with Fs do get the priority.
Okay.
But other students are welcome if there's room.
Can we raise that? We talked about. Can we raise that to a D or?
No, I think that was voted down.
We're working on that.
Was that voted down?
I don't think it was an option to maybe increase that, but the numbers were few.
It's been discussed in the school for the last little bit. It hasn't been decided yet.
So I think statistically when we looked at it, the number of kids that would be, if we set it like at a D-minus, it was only going to be like 42 more kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it was 88.
Was it 88?
Yeah, probably 80 of them were math.
Yeah. I mean, it was a very small, to make that distinction, just so you know. It wasn't a huge number of kids that would be pulled or forced to remediate.
Like your ideas.
Okay. Like I said, this isn't something we need to decide today, so.
I have one I want to throw out there.
Yeah.
We're new here. We just moved here last spring. And I have a son that's in eighth grade. In fact, I talked to Mr. Tell me your name again.
Ringer.
Ringer. I talked to you about him, Drew.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a military brat, really briefly. We moved all over the place. He's never had a problem moving. It's always been great. We moved here last spring, and I've watched that kid progressively go from being class president for the last 3 years of his life to telling me 2 weeks ago he doesn't matter. So here's my thought or suggestion if there's this extra money in the kitty. My son can't be the only kid. You have so many new families moving into the area. My son can't be the only kid who's moving here, and he's not some dorky, far-out kid that just can't make friends. Like you said, he's a very popular kid. But he can't be the only kid in the school who's struggling to find where he fits in, or just struggling to find where his niche is or his group is. So I guess my question is, maybe we could do something, you know, with these kids that are new, or maybe even existing kids, some sort of a program. I know there's not a lot of clubs, like Key Club or things like that. They don't exist at this school. So it's difficult for kids to maybe find manageable numbers to be amongst, to try to find a niche or a group of kids. Because, you know, I know with my son, he's been in big schools, but for instance, last year, we lived in Colorado, and he went to a private school, and his whole grade had 30 kids. And then we dump him in this mess. So
he's like a salmon swimming upstream, and he's had a really, really, really hard time.
Yeah.
But like I said, I can't imagine. He's the only kid. He's got way too many families moving in here, and I mean, let's be honest, middle school sucks. I wouldn't want to do middle school.
I know that they had, last year, I know that they had several clubs. They had the new move-in club, like you're talking about. They had the Hispanic club. Didn't they have? They had a divorce club.
Wow. These were, you're talking about the
like
groups?
Groups, yeah.
Groups.
More like groups.
Yeah. You can't use the word club because some whatever.
Right.
But, you know, I don't do law.
And didn't they do like a social with all the new kids?
They did that
this
year.
We did at the beginning of the year, and we haven't had groups running. In the counseling center, we run groups throughout the year, and we will soon be starting a new student friendship group. That's one of the first ones we'll be doing. We've just been in the middle of 7th grade SEOPs for the last few weeks. So that's something that we, as the counseling center, that we're working on as far as having. So it'll be during the day if something, we'll pull a few kids aside that, as needed, have to run like a support group for new students. Another one will be a military for children of deployed caregivers. Mm-hmm. There'll be a divorce group, grief group, things like that. I don't know if that addresses what you're thinking of.
Are you thinking more of like interest?
But you're thinking more clubs? like a chess club.
Yeah,
I mean,
we're not even in the military anymore. We haven't been for 6 years. But you know, I, as a parent, I don't think that I would want my child to have the label of I'm in the divorced parents club.
It's actually
what we're doing. It's a support group.
It's
not
those kids claim.
But that's counseling.
It's part of the counseling center.
School-wise. Far broader scope, school-wise, right. Saying, hey, you know what, here's our list, because you have the list of the kids who've just moved in. For instance, our situation,
right.
We moved in second week of April, so the poor kid had, you know, there was nothing available by that point. So you have the list of those kids that are new. You should have on your radar those lists of those kids who just are sinking. And then you should have a list of those kids who are really thriving and really doing well. And, you know, what's maybe a way to get those groups together? To get those kids that are sinking brought up by the ones who aren't, and the kids who are just completely lost and don't know what's going on and what they're supposed to do or where they fit in, help them find somewhere to fit in.
It's good that you bring that up, because that's something that we discuss.
In my
department, in the counseling department, that's something we discuss pretty much every day.
Yeah.
Of exactly what we can do to help those students that need that.
And it's going to get worse before it gets better, because, you know, the sheer growth that this area is experiencing.
Right.
I don't know, on average, how many new kids do you get in here in a year? I know the school's new, but...
A lot.
Hundreds.
A lot. Yeah.
What clubs do we have right now? Like, I just see this book club right here.
Well, again, we're a brand new school, so we're in our second year. We have a few intramurals that run. For example, this year we started with cross country. We had a volleyball intramural. We have a basketball boys and girls intramural that will be run this year. We have track in the spring. As far as actual clubs go, it's pretty difficult to start a club even at the high school based on what the requirements are for that club to exist, let alone at the junior high. And because of the nature of our junior high, where we're, you know, where kids can't walk home after they're done, we'd have, you know, a hard time. The only club that we actively have right now, and some of these clubs go on during teal time, is TSA. And the TSA is a CTE skills, right, they do some things like that. So as far as like a chess club, or I'm not sure what type of club you had in mind.
Just some sort of a social outlet club. I mean, you got a lot of sports there.
Yeah,
what
we do.
What if you have a kid who's just like, just not into it? You know?
I understand your concern.
The hard part about addressing this here is we have to make it somehow academic.
Yeah, right. We can't put any money into anything non-academic.
But, you know, for the
you can tie it into academics really easy. Really easy.
So and that's
have to be
during
careful,
teal time. You
for
know,
our
do
well,
something during teal
I
time.
I mean, you could tie it in, look at it like this. Maybe take a core group of those students and look at what their grades were, where they came from. Look at what their grades are now. I can tell you from personal experience that my son went from being, you know, a 4.0 to B's, C's, because he just doesn't really care. Why try?
Why try? Maybe that program would be a good one.
Well, and the teal time activities that we do are fairly small scale too, because each teacher usually only takes, well, it depends on class and the activity. Gym can have a lot, but I haven't taken 40 kids.
Can I have Lance Gale to the front office, please? Lance Gale, please come to the front office.
There are a lot of different activities that can be.
I really feel your pain. I have a 17-year-old who pulled the same thing about 7th and 8th grade. Went through divorce, moving a lot, and things like that. And so I, as I now look back, in hindsight, I can see, I think a lot of it is his personality as well as what he went through. Mm-hmm. And you just do the best you can as a parent and encourage him to have, you know, good friends that'll help him make good decisions too. But I wanted you to know that you're not alone. Like, there's only so much I feel like the school can do. Mm-hmm. So I don't, whether that helps or not, I just wanted you to.
I was going to say the same thing. I have a 16-year-old that went through a similar thing.
And he still doesn't care. Right. I don't know if he's going to graduate this year. It's all on his shoulders.
It's 7th and 8th grade, I think. Whether you move a lot or you stay here.
I think it's a hard time.
It's just a hard time of life.
Are you thinking of a group that, you know, I mean, say during teal time, that he would be required to go to?
And be mentored by a student that was being very successful.
I mean, how would you feel about that? Like,
well, I, you know, have to go to the teacher. And I don't want to pull it out of saying just my son. I mean, I know I'm crossing so many barriers. I've been on a school board before, and you don't talk about just your kids. You talk about the group as a whole. But for me, just talking to some other parents, it seems to be an issue. And the other parents that I'm talking to is, you know, that new Adobe site that's going up in Lehigh, the reason that we moved here is because my husband's in charge of making sure that thing goes up and then running it. So we're talking to all these new families that are starting to move in here, and they're having kind of similar experiences. My kids are sinking. They just don't know. They might not culturally with the religion thing. They might not fit in there. That's kind of where we're at with the religion thing. So, you know, he doesn't attend the same church or go to the activities and stuff, and so school's kind of it. So, you know, in Utah, good, bad, or indifferent, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's got to be something.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I like that idea. Maybe that's something we could think of, having a teal time. I don't know. And this is something, like I said, we can continue to discuss. We do want to vote next month on something to do with this. But maybe having a peer-teach-peer type teal time activity, mm-hmm. in that way you make friends. You're not having a teacher teach you. You're
but one of the things that they've instituted is, like in my math, is I have peer tutors in there. I have probably four kids that come
that's already every kind of, subject. Yeah. What if they're assigned a student to like kind of go with them to
their... Don't they do that when someone moves in? You're assigned a student?
You've thought of all these.
The peer
first
leaders?
Day. Yeah, 2 days.
Just the first couple days.
2 days.
Oh, yeah, for the first few days.
Yeah, maybe something a little longer that they stick with them and go to their teal time activities for, you know, a month or...
Well, especially,
I don't know.
Especially
how do
with
need
our,
it?
The teams that we have now, too, it could be a little bit easier to pair them up with students. Find some of your students that are excelling, or maybe the ones that didn't get on student council but wanted to. This is something that they could do. On the same team. So you're going to be in the same class, you're going to be working together, and hey, let's have lunch together.
Yeah, and I think something like that's more helpful to have someone with you. Mm-hmm. It's definitely worth thinking about, considering for those.
I like hearing what you guys have said, mainly. Not necessarily for this here, but it's stuff that I can take back to the counseling department and things that we'll
so
things that we can
just
do
make
to,
a list for Butch.
Yeah.
So whether or not you guys
we can do it.
I might. Yeah.
Those are good ideas.
I'm sure that there's a lot of students that would volunteer for that kind of role. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
There are.
You know.
There will be.
If for no other reason they want to get out of class or
Well, I mean, maybe they were the new student 2 years ago, mm-hmm. or maybe they've lived here their whole life, but they've seen them.
If we started out, we could piggyback it too. A new student last year that moved in can be in the group for next year, and they can kind of say, hey, I was new last year, and, you know.
Well, I think every child can relate to those feelings, so, you know, so it would be nice to do something like that, definitely. Definitely. Maybe it starts with the student council and snowballs into something.
Okay. Does anyone have any additional thoughts or ideas about programs they'd like to get started?
If you're interested, I did print off some things about the Y Tribe.
He's lobbying.
Just some information. Yeah. I just brought it just because I thought that people would be asking for it.
No, that's
so
perfect.
Wasn't there before I walk away with all these copies of this thing, I'd rather
they just did. Mr. Stewart also talked about a literacy conference in April, I believe it was, yeah, to take some teachers to. Mm-hmm.
Do we know what cost on
it? It was $250 per teacher.
So we can afford to do it.
Per teacher.
Just right, but still $7,000 for a long ways. Mm-hmm.
So if we can implement several of these ideas, but the ones we've talked about, think about, do some research if you're interested, so that next time we come, we can get a general idea of what we want to move forward with, so we can get something implemented by the first of the year or shortly thereafter.
So. And I'd be happy to find out a cost for you on Rosetta Stone.
Okay, thank you.
I'll get a cost for that.
Does that include every language, or is it one language, or
not
what?
Sure.
Does
the license? I'll find that out, because obviously some of them would be, you know, Chinese and Spanish, so we would need anything.
That's
all
you
need. But I'm not sure. You have to buy the whole ball of wax. See, the high school doesn't even have a Chinese program right now.
I wonder if they have a sign in there. I don't know, though. They might.
I think they do audio. That'd be hard.
For Rosetta Stone?
I think they might have signed.
I don't know if Rosetta Stone does.
I don't know. Look into that.
I know that there's kids interested in signing.
But don't they have it here?
Yeah, they have it here.
We have it here. But this is the first year we've had it here. That's good. Quietest class in the school.
And all the students comment on that, and they like that, but they don't.
Yeah, it is completely quiet.
Okay, well, if no one has any other agenda, then we'll close our meeting, and we will meet again on December. I didn't look at that date. No, December 7th at 3 o'clock. And I apologize if you don't get an email until the day of, but I'll try to get one out earlier than that to remind you.
Did you get one today?
No.
Oh,
I yours. But we will typically have them. You will most likely get an email if we're canceling it. If you don't get anything, fine. So, anyway, thank you all for coming.
Thanks.